This morning, I want to talk to you about taking the scenic route. Those special and precious moments that seem to be serendipitous and come into our lives in ways that we don't expect, and flavor them in things and ways that we remember. I remember when I was in my 20s, I took a trip from San Antonio to Lake Geneva in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. The reason for that was that I had heard about the Great Lakes and that area of the country, and I wanted to get out and just spread my wings a little bit. So I remember going through Oklahoma and being impressed that there's a lot of red dirt and oil wells, and Kansas was sort of the same way. But when I got into Iowa and Wisconsin, so much greenery, so much lush foliage, and I remember that I had planned my trip very, very carefully, but it was those times that I deviated from the schedule that I remember being so wonderful and so wonderfully memorable. And I want to talk about that today in light of how I did this trip. We can plan things and affirm things, and it's good we do, but I think that we should be open to serendipity. And serendipity is really, I say, God in disguise. Because sometimes when we've affirmed and we've done our work and we're seeing manifest what we want to have manifest, sometimes a little extra comes in. And where that comes from, we say, well, that's chance or possible, whatever. I think God is absolutely present in every part of our lives. And I think that presence is made known by our realization. Indeed, it can't be any other way. It has to be by what we see in front of us and what we feel inside. So many people beg a recalcitrant God for blessings. And the blessings already are. And the great master teacher and teachers of antiquity have told us that the blessings are here and now for us to claim. Eric Butterworth, no less an authority in Unity, who I think so much of and have loved his work, said that God has already given us everything that we could ever hope for. We don't have to beg, we have to realize. There is a concentric perspective that he talked about that I liked, which is the hub being the essential you, which is spirit and individuation of truth, and spokes that reach out in ways that represent your personality, in ways that represent the way you want to see the world, the way that you do see the world, and the way you interact with others. So in that way, through the metaphor of the spokes reaching out, you're going to touch other people that are doing the same thing, whether they know it or not. So when we say we create an experience, we literally mean just that, not as a point of guilt or saying, why did this happen or what did I do, but rather an ability to learn from where you are. So if I meet somebody that their spokes are reaching out into a place that I think are negative and hurtful, whatever it may be, I realize that that has to be somewhat in me in a way that has not been healed totally. Otherwise, I would walk ahead and not give it a whole lot of thought. Not that I'd be indifferent to suffering or indifferent to somebody acting in a less than perfect or wonderful way, but that I would understand the fact that this person is vibrating something that's inside me. We get into energy in Unity. We talk about the divine, and we talk about what kind of energy that we're putting out, what we do in meditation, what we do in contemplation. And I think that to have really the best life is to realize that you're going to touch other people as other people touch you, and the things that make the biggest difference are the things where you and that person have similarities or unhealed issues, places that they are filling in you and vice versa. But it can be so subtle. You know, we invented words so that we could speak to one another. Words are simply a conveyance. I can say the dawn's early light, and we all kind of have an idea of what that is, but I can say the best moment of my life or your life, and it's going to be entirely different. It's very subjective. So I love the idea that Unity talks about individuation of God in human form, and then individuality or personality as secondary to that. So many people think, if I just believe in this God or this higher power, then all this work is done. But really, that's when the fun begins, because you have presence with you. You're aware of this. You're praying, you're meditating, you're doing your work, you're doing inner work, and it begins to happen on the outside, the wonderful changes that you want to see, because it all begins within. Christ Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you, and to seek you first that kingdom, and every good and wonderful thing will be added unto you. Those are some great promises. And I don't think that we spend enough time remembering that. We think of God sometimes as austere and away and apart and looking down and located in a place somewhere in the ether that we hope we'll get to see when we go one day. But I see God in you, and I see God in animals. I see God in everything. So that sort of makes me a pantheist. And I don't mind labels. If somebody needs to label me, they do that. I know that I'm following the truth that I know of in my own heart. And so I want today to say, when you take the scenic route, be open to the idea that what you had planned, God may have a better plan to add to it. You may see it as a challenge. Sometimes our best gifts come wrapped in difficult situations. And I think all of us can say that we've learned from our difficulties far more than we've learned from our joys, although we love those. Our difficulties teach us patience, forbearance, a new way to love, and a new way to look at ourselves. Taking the scenic route outside is one thing, and I really would like to go now to the very heart of the matter about the scenic route inside. What you image about yourself, what you think about yourself, you bring about. If you think of yourself as less than, or deficient, or broken, or in need of repair, then you are operating from a position of lack, and you're going to seek to fill that void in yourself in all kinds of ways. People do this with drugs, relationships. It can be many things that we can be addicted to fill that hole that I say is a God-shaped hole inside. We are pleasure-seeking folks. Let's just say it. We want happiness. We want good. We want that life flow to have expression in wonderful ways. There's nothing wrong with that. That was placed inside us by our Creator. It's simply that we have ways that we can do it more positively than others. It's difficult when I've seen folks that sit across from me in counseling and talk about the fact that their lives had been destroyed by drugs and alcohol. And I realized that they were trying to reach their good, but it was circuitous, to say the least. And they look back and say, if only that hadn't happened. But that had to happen to bring them present. Right now, you're here. So everything that has ever happened has brought you to this moment. And it's a moment that you can affirm the truth about yourself and walk in newness of life. It's a decision you make in your favor. is taking those things that you thought were for your destruction or your not so highest good and turning them to serve you. The scenic route that I really am talking about is the one inside, the image you have and the realization you have of who and whose you are. I would suggest strongly, because it's worked in my life and so many of the lives that I've seen, that you get a new opinion of yourself if the old one says anything to you that you are less than a beloved and wonderful and special child of the Most High God. The image that you carry of yourself determines the life you're going to live. The scenic route in your mind is a place where you can sort of create it by saying, I may feel like this in the past about this subject or that person, but I can change my mind right now, and in that way I can experience them in a new and different way. They may not change, or the situation may not change, but you're changed, and you're seeing it with fresh eyes. And when you see that situation with those eyes, you're helping heal it. But if you withdraw and you pull back and you're in judgment or fear or condemnation, then all you're doing is standing with them in a way that is not for their highest good or for yours either. You're joining them in their weakness. The beauty is to join yourself first in your own inherent strength and to join others in that way. Because empowered people make wonderful changes in themselves and in the world around us. Fearful, angry people create situations like that. Again, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And the collective thoughts of people produce collective conditions. We create our reality in ways that I don't think we're always aware of. And that's why we have to be vigilant. All the great spiritual texts tell us that we need to keep a watch on ourselves and that out of the heart proceeds the issues of life and that we are blessed by what we bless and we're cursed by what we curse. So I'm not saying to take the worst situation you have and just say it's perfect. I'm saying look at it with eyes to grow, with a new set of glasses, a new set of eyes, a new way that says I'm determined to see this in a unique and different way. It may be feeling very different inside you to do this, but when you start to see the good in yourself, you'll start to see it in other people. It seems to work that way. The goodness multiplies. Conversely, those things that are not for our highest good multiply. We know, folks, and I mentioned it to you just a while ago, especially those that have struggled with substances, they look for that initial wonderful feeling over and over and over again, instead of realizing that they can make a new choice about themselves over and over and over again. It's just that one seems to supply something right away. We want things to happen quickly. And we know that life and growth is a process. And while we can have moments that kick us up, push us up, and just enthrall and enliven us, most generally growth is a process. And I want you to know today that I believe with all my heart that God is involved in that process. That when you see people who make a difference in the lives of others, they've also made a difference in themselves to begin with. They have followed their highest truth. They've walked a different way. Sometimes they've been misunderstood and castigated and kicked out of the herd. But those folks are the ones that we honor because they show us that it's possible to live and be and move differently. In the image that you have of yourself right now, I'll ask you to take an inventory of it and kick it up 10%. see yourself doing things you haven't done before. In that way, you're open to growth, and you're open to doing it even if it's not wonderful. I'll give you an example. I love to watercolor. I'm no good at it. I throw it out there, and I look at it, that's real pretty, and I tear it up. And I keep doing that because I know that somehow or the other, some way, I'm going to come across something that I want to keep. I'm having fun while I do it, but it's not the best. But I'm affirming the fact that I'm going to learn it sooner or later, and it's going to be something I want to keep. So I'm having fun in the process. I'm telling you all, don't get so wrapped up in the goal that you can't enjoy the process. You see, now is what we have. The past is over, and the future is yet to be, and each time from here on out, it's going to be now. So whether you're creating a watercolor or you're creating a life and a big change, appreciate the present, because you'll look back and say, that was really something. You'll look back and say, I wish I could kind of experience that again, and it happened now. And every moment of your life is going to happen now. There's no such thing truly as the past and the future. It's always now. So in the image that I ask you to kick up 10%, I ask you to go inside and think about something that you thought you wanted, you did want, and you gave it up because you thought, that's just not me, I'm just not talented that way. It may be a relationship you want to pursue. It may be that you want to become a cook and you never have. It may be that you want to do some sculpting. Who knows what it is? We all have different wants and desires. I'm saying follow those special places inside, because that's the stuff life is made of. We remember the things that take our breath away happen in an instant. I don't think you can plan to have your breath taken away unless you ride a roller coaster or do something like that. But those moments that mean so much tend to happen in a serendipitous way. But you can create an environment so that's more likely to happen. What I'm really trying to say is, where joy is, God is. Where happiness is, God is there. It said in Christian scriptures, He dwells in the joy of His people. So joy and happiness and love and these wonderful emotions are part of what God is in you and out there. But when we constrict and we pull inward, then presence has a hard time getting through to us. Now you see, the life force that comes through us is the love of God, and it's also creative. It's also very neutral. We make of it what we will. And then what happens is, when we don't like it, we blame God. It's like a hose that we step on and kink and say, I can't get any water out of this. We have to let our foot off of it and let it go. What do you have to let your foot off today in order to take the scenic route? What do you have to release and give up in order to claim your highest good? That's for you to decide. I uphold you in it. I'm here to help facilitate that. And I can only tell you, when you follow that still small voice and the road less traveled, and you listen to your inner lights, to that inner voice, to that thing that talks to you in the middle of the night, you're living what I call the plus factor. You're hearing that, and you want to follow that. And I am for you doing that. That makes a happy, unique, and special life. So embrace yourself in this process. Love yourself while you do this. We don't expect an infant to run a marathon. I'm not saying we're in that level, but I'm saying that we're starting. And so be patient with yourself, be kind with yourself, but pursue what's your highest good. Know what it is, affirm it, and go for it. Because when you do that, you're going to add to every one of us and this place expands more and more. You see, we're building better folks one at a time, and that comes out in a collective growth. And that's the only healthy way that it can really be. To do something by fiat, to do something because you're told to do it, is one thing. To do something because it speaks inside you to your highest and your best, because you must do it, you must follow that wherever it leads, is quite something else. Always hold your candle flame in front of you. Though the worst go before you, don't let that go out. Don't let the world blow it out. And don't you blow it out. Nurture it, love it, and understand that the scenic route, the pictures you hold in your mind that produce after their kind, and the pictures that you hold about what's coming up out here are very, very closely connected. Enjoy the journey. If it was absolutely mapped out perfectly, there wouldn't be a whole lot to enjoy. And that's why when I started this conversation telling you about the times that I went up through all those Midwest states, when I got to Lake Superior, it was better than anything I could imagine. It literally took my breath away. I went somewhere else than what was recommended on the map. I'm saying to you, go that somewhere else. Live that somewhere else. Image that somewhere else. That's the stuff of which a wonderful life is made of. I give thanks for each and every one of you for you being here, and I affirm your growth, and I see you uplifted, and I see you walking in newness of life and taking the scenic route and enjoying every minute of it. Thank you, and so it is.